This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you decent podcasts since 2013.
Conversation Podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yo, you are now in the conversation. It is the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad. And that rattle you hear in the background is our guest, a returning favorite from all the way, hailing all the way from uptown.
You wanna bumble with the B, huh?
Uptown Bevy Smith is in the building.
That's right, with an F on the end, Smith.
Smith.
Hi, Mr. Muhammad.
What's happening?
What's happening? What's up? Got Patron in my cup.
Shit, since the last time you was here, you done did new things.
Yeah, I'm what they call a multimedia celebrity type.
Okay, what does that mean?
I have a TV show that comes on every day that's nationally syndicated called Page Six TV. You can see it. Check your local listings. I've always wanted to say that in reference to myself. Check your local listings. And then, of course, I have my TV and my radio show called Bevelations on Radio Andy, which is balls to the walls, do whatever you like kind of situation.
Yeah, kind of like here.
Yeah. It's a lot of freedom with Bevelations.
So now, with the new show, how has it been transitioning to, you know, a daily type of TV program where you have to be there, you know, every morning?
At 7 a.m.
Damn, that early?
It's American Tragedy. Because, you know, I'm a gal about town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so not being able to, like, stay out any time of the day or night that I want is really a bit of a killjoy. Mm. And I'm fucking exhausted all the time.
Mm.
I'm worn out.
So that's a major life adjustment.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a lifestyle change. Not as much as like a Caitlyn change.
Not that much.
Not that much. But definitely, if I'm in bed by 10:30, I feel good about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't feel good about myself because I'm like, you're a lame motherfucker.
FOMO?
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what's your plan? How you gonna reconcile that and balance it out?
I don't know. I'm gonna make it do what it do. It's gonna figure itself out. It's in the ether already that I don't like it. So the universe will provide. I love my job, by the way. I love Page Six TV. I enjoy it fucking immensely. And I wouldn't say that just because I'm on fucking a public space. I enjoy it. I enjoy the work. I don't like getting there at 7 a.m. I don't necessarily like the fucking morning briefings. Even though sometimes I do have fun. I'm a morning person, so once I'm there, I'm like jazzy and everything.
Right.
But yeah.
So what part of it do you like? What's the part that gets you?
I love the work. Like, I like when I get on set and the fucking red camera, the red light goes on, and it's showtime at the Apollo, and yeah, I'm popping. I love that.
Nice. So this show, you know, they announced it earlier in the year.
Yeah, they announced it early in the year. They announced it in June or something that was coming back. We didn't come back until, no. We had to wait a whole year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. You did a pilot episode, like a test.
We did test episodes. We were on for like 3 weeks to make sure the people liked it. So that's what they do now. They test the shows in real time because it's expensive to produce a show like this because there's a lot of motherfuckers on the stage.
Right.
And it's a big, L. Clay was there. It's a big production, right? So, much bigger than Fashion Queens.
Yeah,
it's a big.
By the way, we got L. Clay in the background. I don't know why she don't have on the headphones
sing,
and up
and
on
her
the
background
mic.
Sing.
So we do have the crew up in here.
L. Clay is my daughter, my lesbian daughter. She's actually my only daughter.
She's single. Please slide in her DM.
No.
I'm just joking.
The problem.
It's cuffing season.
No, that's the problem right now.
The DMs, have the DMs gone up since the show?
It goes down in the DMs.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? The DMs now, because everybody done put out all that propaganda that women don't like dick pics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody sends dick pics anymore, which makes me sad.
Why?
Because I would like to see a unauthorized cock come through every now and again. If it was big, definitely I would like to see it. Now, you know what I've taken to doing? I was lurking in my gay friends' DMs. They have the big cocks being sent to them.
So you're a connoisseur of the cocks.
She's a cocksmith.
I'm a cocksmith, yes.
Not a bevy smith. In addition to
I'm a wordsmith and a cocksmith.
And a media smith.
And a media smith, indeed. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You know, you got to be so careful because of the sexual harassment situation, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. It is sexual harassment if someone sends you an unsolicited dick picture. With that being said, if someone sends you an unsolicited dick picture and they're attractive and their dick is big and attractive, you probably won't do a Harvey Weinstein on them. You probably won't, you know, do a Kevin Spacey on them. You know, you won't call the authorities.
Now, is it a difference if, you know, all of those things match up and then it's somebody rich and famous versus average Joe coming home from the post office?
I'm not fucking you anyway. I just wanted to see your big dick in my DMs. That's it. I'm not really that wedded to it.
Right.
So you're famous, you're broke. I don't care. I wanted to see your big cock come through the day. Now that God sent me all these nice notes, and they're nice, but now what I will say, if you're nice and you're poor, there's not a lot that we can do. Not a lot of conversation to be had, because the problem is that what are we going to do?
No doubt. Now,
you know what happens, though. You know, I'm against the crimes against female celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm against what happened to Mel B. I'm against what happened to Mary J. Blige. Mm-hmm. I'm against what happened to Tasha Smith. Wow. I'm against all these things.
I didn't hear the Tasha Smith.
The same shit that happened to everybody else. You marry these ne'er-do-well motherfuckers, and then you wind up having to pay them to get rid of them. I don't go for that.
Oh, married harassment.
Yeah, when you marry these broke joke motherfuckers who pretend to be something that they're not.
Right.
They get up in your life, want to get up in your system, and want to glomp onto your shine, and then when you finally wise up and you want to divorce them, and they like, oh. Mel B's husband is greasy. He telling all their business.
Right.
We did cocaine together. We did threesomes. We had the fucking nanny as a sex hostage. Like, damn. He's doing all of it. He's doing team too much.
Oh, wow.
After living lovely for years off of that beautiful woman's back. That ain't right. And then, of course, Ken Do, the king of all fucking losers and users. He got Mary J. Blige for how many years? More than a decade.
And he want a raise now.
And yeah. Mary said we both owe that IRS, so maybe if I just pay the IRS, can we just squash it?
You're going to be like, well, I need to pay mine, so.
No. She's saying she'll pay the bill for both of them.
Oh, wow.
Because it's their married bill.
Right.
So he owes half, she owes half. She's like, I'll pay the full nut if only you'll go away. But every time I see Mary perform now, I'm always thinking, that's Ken Do's money.
That's a hell of a play, though. Because if you don't pay the IRS, you go to jail.
I know, and no one can do that.
Yeah.
I can't. Uh-uh. I can't afford not to record.
Mary's lawyers went hard with that one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to figure it out.
I'm sure they are.
Because, I mean, he's demanding, how much money was it? I think it was something stupid, like $120,000 a month. Fuck out of here.
They ain't even got no little kids.
Nope.
What's his life?
He wanted his family to still be taken care of because Mary had been taking care of his kids and his parents. So he wanted
his
that
kid's
money.
Grown, ain't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But Steve Harvey's children with his wife Marjorie.
That's his children.
No. He has those, her children have his last name now.
Oh, he
and
adopted
adults.
Them. But he adopted
but
them.
But they were adults.
Wait, those are not his what? Children?
The beautiful girl that's all...
And the son with the light eyes?
Yeah.
Sorry, the son with the light eyes.
Do they look like Steve?
No, because his children got that Harvey
So
face.
They look like Harveys.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he adopted them.
As adults.
Right.
That's all I want.
Right. You want to get
you
caught
seen
up
those,
in
like, those
But it's the flip side
couples,
of that as well,
gay
though.
Gay guy couples who have, like, twin daughters.
That's concubine.
No. The gay, like, guy couples who have, like, who adopt kids, I've always wanted to come back as being adopted by, like, a gay male couple.
A white gay male
Absolutely.
Couple. You don't want that.
That is my
fucking pet.
No, I wouldn't. I would live in a beautiful townhouse and get everything I want.
You think
a brat?
Until then, they saying stupid shit to you about the race things. No, yeah,
then,
irked.
Then I'll shame them with their white guilt.
Oh, you don't know white guilt is played out. They ain't got no more white guilt. You don't know that? They over white guilt.
Damn. Where they at? Where they now?
They feel like they've been put upon. Mm. They're sick of feeling guilty. The white man is the mule of the world. The workhorse of the world. Don't nobody love a straight white man. A heterosexual white male has been put upon. Mm. That's what they feel. That's why they're taking the guns and stuff and they're killing up the churches and the country music things.
But
all of those men had had financial difficulties, and they all had beat the brakes off of women they had been involved with.
Even the little boy in Charlotte?
Yeah. Oh, he was crazy. He beat up.
He couldn't even live up.
Wait, the little boy in Charlotte? South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Oh, no, nah, I don't know. He was too far back. Okay, we're talking about the most recent.
Okay, the Vegas?
Vegas, and then this one in Texas.
Dude, okay. Vegas dude was beating the Filipino lady?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's beating the Filipino, but he had been arrested for domestic abuse.
Why we ain't never seen no footage of that dude?
Vegas. It's a conspiracy.
Well, you know, I'm a conspiracy kind of.
Yeah, I know
theorist,
you love that. I can't get involved. I'm
not saying that you should get involved.
I got stuff to do. You know, I don't even know how you get involved in conspiracy shit and still be able to function.
I mean, because
to me, it's like you get in the bunker then.
I don't get involved with it. I see shit. I have questions.
I would be in the bunker.
No, I don't go that far. I know I got to get up and live and shit. I got shit to do.
But, I mean, why are you living? Why are you doing anything? It's all one big conspiracy. They're not going to let you do nothing.
That's not my point of view. Oh. That's not my point of view. Okay. I'm not that dude. Oh. But I look at shit and be like, hey, man, that don't make no motherfucking sense. Really? I can't even throw a peace sign in the casino, let alone drag 60 guns and thousands of rounds of ammunition and shit. So, you know, and walk through, shoot the shit up and not be seen at all. But you know, that's just a question. I don't base my life on these questions.
Right. Okay.
I'm just saying I see you, but I don't see you. As the good Smith would say.
Yes, good old Smitty
would say.
Dominique didn't even know that. I said to her in the Bahamas, and she's like, I said, the grandpa never said that to you. She said no. I said, oh, that's a grandpa. That's a Smithyism.
That's a great line.
See him and don't see him.
Because that's what it really is. You see it, but you ain't got to, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to be burdened with what you saw. You know, I've seen a lot of shit coming up, but I'm not burdened by it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I know it exists and I keep it moving.
What's she doing over there?
She is over there minding her business.
Mm-hmm. She ain't even barely a fucking millennial no more. She old as fuck. How old are you now? Used to be so young.
Elle gets grown.
32.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ancient.
You're catching up.
Ancient Chinese secret.
What's going on with you, Elle?
Nothing much.
Out here working.
What you working on? Let them know what you're working on.
She working on this Bevy Smith Smart Black and Funny project.
We out here.
Oh, tell us about that.
I'm about to go and be Smart Black and Funny against Kid Fury. Well, I kept calling Kid Cudi.
So that's a different Amanda theory. Seals does a event. Basically, it's a comedy event called Smart Black and Funny.
Yeah.
And how does it work?
It's a game show, and we compete against each other. And there's categories. Give me my cards. There's categories. See, why you don't have the cards already ready? See, this much you're gonna be fired.
Yeah, you like to fire.
Didn't I cash out for her fucking money?
Yes.
Well, I'm waiting. That's what I don't like. Type of shit I don't like.
Okay.
Damn.
Smart, black, and funny.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about how come I'm repping the fabulous flyness. You know, Harlem Renaissance.
No doubt.
Super fly, paid in full, the lifestyle and the movie.
No doubt.
Killer Cam, Dipset.
Pink Furs. You know what I'm saying?
Diddy Meister.
What's the name of that burger joint?
Jimbo's
from Paid in Full.
Yeah. No, that was a Willie Burger stand.
Willie Burger stand. No doubt.
Dapper Dan. You know how they tried to culturally appropriate Dapper Dan.
They
and now
did.
He got an atelier in Harlem.
How you say that?
Atelier.
What's that?
That's what they call a workshop. where you build your clothes, darling.
Bespoke?
I mean.
Kinda, maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just. Atelier is the workshop.
The workshop. No doubt.
Atelier.
Atelier, and it's uptown.
In Harlem.
In Harlem. Not the Bronx.
Not the Bronx. The Bronx, not the Bronx. Harlem World, Harlem World. So, you ever saw Luke Cage?
Yes.
The barbershop storefront?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's where the Dapper Dan Gucci store is going to be.
The Gucci store is going to be in the Luke Cage
barbershop. It's the Dapper Dan Gucci store.
The Dapper Dan Gucci store is going to be in the Luke Cage barbershop.
Yes.
That's iconic.
That's iconic and black as fuck.
That's really
and you
really
can only do it in Harlem.
No doubt.
People, you know.
So in there, he's making stuff, and it's all of the.
He's gonna have the. But basically, they gave him the fabric.
Right.
And now
the
he
shit
can
they
do,
they wouldn't give him before, the shit that he was getting on his own back in the day.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now he's doing his thing with their fabric.
Yep.
And
I'm gonna get me a piece.
No doubt.
I don't go in for a lot of expensive stuff like that. But I'm going to buy it.
That's, you know, that's historic.
It's historic. You got to. I have to. So I told Relish I was going to put a certain amount of money on it. Mm-hmm. He mocked me.
Who is Relish?
My son, to Relish, who's a big stylist. He does DJ Khaled and the Fat Joe. And, you know, he's quite prominent in these fashion streets.
No doubt.
And he's like a horrible motherfucker because he mocked me.
Why did he mock you?
Because I said I was going to spend X amount of dollars on the situation,
uh-huh.
He thought it was too much. And I said to him, I just saw you buy a $2,000 sweatshirt out of fucking Gucci. That means nothing.
Mm. And what did he say to that?
He said he bought it for a client. Do we know?
I've seen him wear some Gucci duds.
Yeah, exactly. You seen him on the gram.
Just yesterday.
Yeah, you seen him on the gram.
Hey.
At the airport.
But you got to have vision sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you can respect it from a whole another level, just you grew up in it.
Well, that's my era.
You know what I'm saying?
That's my era for sure. So I grew up in it, yes. But also, well, it's just lying. He's probably gonna spend the same amount of money I'm gonna spend, if not more. Cause I never spend this kind of money. Ever. Like I think I would probably spend this kind of money on like a fur.
Mm.
I wouldn't buy like I don't buy handbags that cost that much.
And when it start? When is he opening up?
It's this month. In the 20 something. I gotta reach back out to his son.
Right for the holidays.
Yes, right for the holidays. I gotta reach back out to his son.
Now, let me ask you this. That era, Harlem.
Yeah.
For our listeners, we got listeners in other places,
right.
You know what I'm saying, from other towns.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like during that era of Harlem?
Harlem was young, fly, and flashy.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go and watch the movie Paid in Full, that gives them the full kind of synopsis. So Paid in Full is a fictional account of a real life crew. And it was Rich, it was Alpo, and it was AZ. And in the film, Rico is played by Cam'ron. Mm-hmm. That's the Alpo character. And Alpo was the fine one, the charismatic one. He was amazing. He was like born to be a star. And he was a hood star.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kids. Like, when you look back on it, we were like in our teens and then our early 20s.
Right.
They went to jail or died in their early 20s.
Right.
Which is crazy when you think about it. So they packed a whole bunch of living into maybe a span of, they like maybe had a run of like 6 years.
I give all of the dope boys from Miami that I know, it's about a 4-year run that cats get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You'll get that build up, but then that run, about 4 years.
Well, you enjoying it. I'm watching El Chapo, this is the first season right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, right now El Chapo is, you know, he's a bum. And I'm watching it and I'm like, he just got, wait a minute. He about to be the man, homie.
Which one are you watching? Is it the Univision?
I'm watching the Univision one.
Yeah, I watched that joint. I felt like it seemed like they skipped a lot.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to that yet.
It's not like how Narcos season one did.
Oh, yeah.
Like they had, it was stages and they, mm-hmm. it developed. It seemed like he went from that right there to the, he was a fugitive real quick.
Exactly, real quick.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, mid-level, you'd be a fugitive.
No doubt.
You'd be a fugitive real quick. shout out to my Meek Mills, who's about to do 2 to 4 years of riding a motorbike uptown.
Is it really just riding a motorbike?
Well, you tell me, kind sir. First of all, why the fuck was he on probation for 12 years?
Well, he was fired first.
Huh?
It was five first.
Okay.
Then he violated.
Okay.
They worked it out. Then they gave him 10.
Right.
10 is that's a setup. Like, you right. got 10 years probation. You
that's bound, what I'm saying. You bound so that's the fuck what up. I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. That's my problem with the whole situation mm-hmm. with the system. See, what they do is once they get you in their clutches, that's why you got to stay out the system, L fucking Clay. You got to stay out the system.
Got to stay out the system.
Because if you're in the system, they can get you, girl. They'll get you.
And but see,
I want to go to women's prison. I want to go to a women's prison.
You want to go?
I don't.
Oh yeah, of course not.
But see, this is the thing. With
I mean, it's good eating out there for you, but
but I'm bummed.
But here's the thing, though. You know, you got 10 years probation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You out here, you doing your thing.
And they violate them for dumb shit. Like, you went to the award show without telling your probation
exactly,
officer.
Exactly. But you like a regular motherfucker. Once you're on the probation, you regular as fuck to them. And they take great pride in fucking you over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're on top and you know. But most niggas that I know that are worth something out in the streets, that is on the paperwork and got these folks in their business. You know what I'm saying? They let these people do their jobs. They don't do these people's job for them. Meek Mill was helping these people do their job. You know what I'm saying? Just this year alone, they jumped Sarah Free with Safari.
No, they didn't. That's never been proven. He was no charges.
No, never proven. No, it okay, wasn't so proven no. that they fought French Montana. Last
okay,
week,
so
that wasn't proven, okay. But it was there. It's a okay. lot. It's a
well,
lot. It's a,
I'm only dealing in the facts.
Listen. But when you got them folks in your business, it ain't just facts. It's opinion as well. You know what I'm saying? It's the people you.
They should deal in facts.
Yeah, right. If that was the case, then half people in that wouldn't be enough. If it was dealing in facts. But if you know that, seemed to me that you will, you know what I'm saying, you will hold your shit down. But I think
Papadopoulos is 29 years old. They said, you know Papadopoulos. They said that he was a kid.
I don't know Papadopoulos.
The motherfucker who turned who was a turncoat on mm-hmm. in the Trump administration.
Oh yeah. Okay.
They said he was a kid. He's 29 years old. So is Meek.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can be a kid who doesn't know, so can fucking Meek Mills.
No doubt. And I'm not riding on the side of the system at all. But again, if you out here in this world and you on them papers. You know what I'm saying? It's a way
I
to walk
I want to enjoy
down.
Myself. I want to live my life. Yeah, I'm young, rich, and famous.
Yeah, but see, when you're on them papers, it's a little different. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot different when you're on
well,
them papers.
Well, I don't subscribe to that. We got to change it up.
You got to change up the paperwork?
We got to change up the paperwork.
No doubt.
Because the man that killed Freddie Gray was just found not we guilty not on 21
We not
charges.
Even finna talk about none of that. That's all. Yes, it's a whole another scenario. We just talking about
what
taking care.
What you making
care.
All that noise for over sorry, there?
Sorry. We just talking about taking care when you worth something out here. That's all. That's all. That's all I had to say on the matter mm-hmm. of the point.
Okay. Well.
But I did see you give Meek a big shout out, and you know what I'm saying, showed him some love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm devastated by it. Because no I have a family member who they tried to get up, caught up in all that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I had a few shekels that I could throw at the situation. And he kept his nose clean.
He kept his nose clean.
But he didn't keep his nose clean to the point of keeping his nose completely clean. He had a little bit of booger right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they was trying to get him. And I said, not on my motherfucking watch.
No doubt. And Meek got a whole lot of hitters that's going to say not on his watch, too. You know what I'm saying? He got a whole Roc Nation. He got a whole bunch of lawyers that he got a whole lot of paper to throw at it. You know what I'm saying? And that's all.
Well, I hope the appeal works.
And it will. He
2 to 4 years for riding the motorbike in motherfucking Harlem stunting is not correct.
But I think it was also a matter of community service that he didn't do, that he didn't finish. It was, you know what I'm saying? There's a few little things in there. But again, they gonna throw the paper at it, and you know what I'm saying? it's gonna work out. Okay. He's gonna be back on the stage. You know what I'm saying? They had Wayne on a gun charge in New York, which is for most cats is a whole lot of years in jail. He did his 8 months and he came home. Right. Meek gonna come home. He got money to throw at it. It's this energy really, you know what I'm saying, should go towards the cats who ain't got the money.
Right.
To throw at it. Because those are the ones more at risk.
Well, as a matter of fact, I said to Amy this morning when I was talking about Amy is my bestie, my business partner in Dinner with Bevy, and my publicist, and she's a white woman. And I said to her, I got to do something with the criminal justice system. So I want to do something either with the Doe Fund or with the Innocent. So the Doe Fund helps you cut down the recidivism.
Mm-hmm.
The Innocence Project is the one that throws the money and the resources at getting innocent people off of the death row.
Right.
There's also a new organization that I just donated some money to that helps women who are just getting out of jail and helps them get back on their feet through housing and giving them, you know, clothes and different things like that. But I'm going to get involved in that because I'm heavily in the LGBTQ game and I'm heavily in the young Black women space, and in the Black women space in general. But I want to get into this whole, because I can't abide this shit.
Right.
And it burns my biscuits, because I just look at it all the time. If you have no money to get your own lawyer, they're going to send you away if you are a Black and brown person. Where was that damn horrible warden, that sheriff who was like, we can't let them out, they the good ones. And talking about he needed them to work. In a prison.
Right.
So we can't let them out.
Right. Yeah. Here's what they think about you. But like I said, it's so, you know what I'm saying? Like, we hear about those things, you know what I'm saying? And recidivism and the bigger issues, you know what I'm saying? But the smaller, like, the shit that fuck with me is the smaller issues. You know what I'm saying? How they, like you say, you got to stay out of the system. How they get you in the system. You know what I'm saying?
How they get you in the system is stupid shit, like you didn't pay the child support, so then they arrest you, so then you ain't got the bail money, so then you stay in jail, then you lose your fucking job, then they take your driver's license, then they take your passport, and then you can't, man.
It's before that. It's, you jump the turnstile at the Utica Avenue, right?
Yes, you jump the turnstile.
You get the ticket, right? You know what I'm saying? You ain't got $100 to pay the ticket. You ain't going to tell your mama you got caught jumping the turnstile. You think it ain't going to happen. Then they catch you the next time. Now you got the bench warrant for the ticket that they gave you the first time. And you in high school and you get a free Metro card anyway. You know what I'm saying? So why is they policing that shit when all the students get the free Metro card anyway? So you in high school or, you know, middle school, whatever, you jump the turnstile, you get the ticket. Next time they come back, boom, they pull you. Oh, you got the bench warrant. You got to go to jail. Now you in jail. You're missing school.
And you're a child.
For $2.75.
And you're a fucking child.
On a ride that they already give all the students the free Metro card anyway. That's the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the little shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That add the big shit. Because now you done had to spend a week in the jail. Now you done missed your finals and shit and blah, blah.
And who knows what happened to you in the jail?
In the jail. You know what I'm saying?
This is why I cannot abide.
So those are the little things, you know what I'm saying, in that same vein as what Meek Mill is going through, except for most motherfuckers ain't got the money to throw at it.
Right.
Or the resources and all the other people and all the other people that's coming behind. Like, you know, Jay-Z put out a statement about Meek Mill.
And he don't put out a statement about nothing.
About nobody. So
I was very impressed by that.
I wanted him to use that same energy across the board.
But he does, though, because he did it with the Khalif Browder.
Yeah.
And then they was about to do the Trayvon movie. But, you know, they got caught up in the Weinstein madness. Because Weinstein was producing that with Jay-Z.
No doubt.
So, you know, I mean, listen, I was not a big... By the way, L. Clay, I've been having, dare I say, erotic dreams about Jay-Z.
Rockers in the building.
For no reason. For no reason at all. For no, I'm not attracted to him.
But it's
don't
known
want
that he
no
has
parts of him.
Going back to Big Cox.
Yeah, but no, I'm not interested. When I tell you, But you know, the first time I had a dream about Jay-Z that was crazy was when I went to Croatia, when I was going to Croatia. Mm-hmm. And I was yachting or some shit in the dream, and Jay-Z gave me some amazing, beautiful, sweet shrimp that had been lightly, lightly fried. But not like that hard fry.
Like a pan, like a light.
Like a pan.
Like a saute.
Like a saute, but it had a little bit of on it. And it was crazy. And so then when I was going to Croatia, I said to Relish, we got to get some of that Jay-Z shrimp. I talked about it on my radio show, and mm-hmm. people were like, did you get the Jay-Z shrimp? And then I posted a picture on Instagram when I finally got the Jay-Z shrimp. And the Jay-Z shrimp was just as good as it was in the dream.
Wow.
Jay-Z shrimp.
All right.
Last night, I'm minding my business, and me and Jay-Z are having a full-on affair.
Oh, my God.
Full-on affair. He's not married. He's married, but Beyonce is not a part of the dream.
Okay.
But he's not single. He's definitely married. And, yeah. I'll tell y'all what happened after. I can't tell y'all on the air because this is a public space.
But it's a dream.
But it was awful.
It was all a dream.
I know, but I don't want people inferring that, you know, I'm feeling this way about Jay-Z because I'm not attracted to Jay. I want no parts of him.
You know what Freud says?
What does Freud say?
Your dreams. About your dreams?
What did he say?
Hold on, let me Google. I want to say it correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, but also Freud says that your dreams are not really what you're dreaming about. It's something else. It's the subconscious.
So what is it? So what's the subconscious?
Google what Freud said.
Google Freud. Continue. So you woke up. How'd you feel?
Devastated. Because I felt like I had been set up by Jay-Z.
Set up for what?
Well, we had a full... Okay, go ahead. What Freud said?
Dreams are the royal road to the unconscious.
Mm.
What else?
The dream is a little hidden door in the innermost and most secret recesses of the psyche.
Well, I don't know how to translate this then. We need to get a dream analysis on it. We need a dream analysis. So let me tell you what happened. Me and Jay-Z were having a full-on affair. Mm-hmm. But it's no sex. But we're going everywhere together,
mm-hmm.
but secretively and furtively. That's how I know he was married, because it was very furtive. And I'm like, we're going everywhere, but we can't really go everywhere.
Right.
We wind up in a brownstone, someone's brownstone. They open the door for us. We're like, we're finally going to get it on. I'm not going to tell y'all what happened. But suffice to say, paparazzi were involved.
Oh, my God.
And my career was ruined because I was on Page Six.
On your own show.
Well, because we got a saying on the show. If you don't want it on Page Six.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
So now you was on your own show.
I was on my own show.
Ass out.
When I tell you what happened, it's worse than ass out.
Whoa.
It's awful what happened. It's awful. I was horrified. But so, it doesn't make any sense because I'm not attracted to him and I'm not interested in him.
But you woke up like, don't do it.
Yeah, period. Yeah. I woke up like...
In all instances.
Yeah. But I don't even like married men. Like, I'm not interested. I've never been interested in being a mistress. I don't think it's just hot. Like, a lot of grown women my age are like, fuck it. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't have time for a man anyway. I'll take that little piece of whatever. I'm not built for that. So I don't know why I was his mistress. And I don't know why he set me up the way. I'm very mad at Jay-Z. Set me up.
What'd you do to Jay-Z? Well, he had to set you. You know, Jay-Z got that long memory.
Right, exactly.
He take his beefs all the way to the end of the road.
Yeah, well, he set me up. But I don't think, I mean, yeah.
Mm, might have been from the 80s.
Might have been from the 90s.
The 90s.
He's a 90s character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't even think, yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't out in the 80s.
He was the 90s.
He's a 90s guy. I know him from the 90s, from the tunnel era.
And your crew Supper was the Club. Ladies of the 80s.
We were the 80s ladies, but then I got the 90s ladies. Oh. You know, Rabia and Kiva and those girls.
I don't know them.
Yeah, you do. You've met them before.
I know the 80s ladies.
Of course, because 80s ladies are the 80s ladies. I mean, they're epic and iconic. But the 90s chicks, you know, yeah. That's Chrissy is a part of the 90s.
Oh, Chrissy is the 90s. I thought she was the 80s.
Tail end.
Baby in the 80s.
She was a baby.
Right.
Like, she was like 15 outside.
No doubt.
Dot, dot, dot.
No doubt. It was interesting when she finally, you know, popped up on TV and with Jim Jones, because you've told these stories about the 80s ladies and the 90s and how popular Chrissy was, you know what I'm saying? And even when you was telling the story, she was still popular.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wonder, what makes one stand out from the crowd like that in the streets like that?
Well, you know, when I was young and I was a geekosaurus, I figured out very early on it didn't take much to be popular in the hood.
In the hood.
It didn't take much.
Okay.
Cute. Okay. Good shape. All right. If you can dance, if you can talk, funny, and if you fly, that's it. That's all you need. That's a secret fucking sauce.
The fly part wasn't that easy.
What do you mean?
Fly don't come easy for everybody.
What do you mean?
Fly does. Everybody can't get fly. Everybody don't know fly.
Well, you just follow the fucking, it's like Garanimals or some shit. You just follow the pattern.
What are the colors that
is? Yeah. I mean, like in the 80s, if you wanted to be green. Fly, then yeah, it's like, it ain't that hard. It's, I mean, you have your man get you some dope jewelry and get a Dapper Dan jacket and get a Gucci bag.
No doubt.
Well, I'll say I want a girl with extensions in her hair, bamboo earrings, at least two pair, Fendi bag, and a bad attitude. That's all he needs to get him in a good mood. That's it. Let LL tell you.
Let LL tell you.
Yeah.
Bird.
See? Nope. So, I mean, it don't take that much.
So once you figure that out.
Once you figure that out, then you get to be popular. And then, you know.
More untold stories.
The story's made to be sold, not told.
So what's up with that book?
Bevy's Big Book of Bevelations coming to you soon.
What's up with it?
In the process of finding a writer who's going to do the proposal for me.
Okay.
Been meeting with my agents over at CAA to discuss the rollout.
Mm-hmm. So this is real?
Oh, yeah, it's real.
I didn't know it was real.
Oh, yeah. Bevy's Big Book of Bevelations, and we're also doing a children's book.
So
Little Brown Bevy.
The big book, what's that? What's, like, what kind of idea are you thinking there?
Oh, that's just going to be, like, life revision.
Okay.
Get yourself together, bitch.
Uh-huh. No doubt.
That kind of thing.
And then you got the children's book.
Children's book, Little Brown Bevy, which is about a little girl who travels the world by herself. She has a trunk full of fabulous clothes,
mm-hmm.
and she goes all over the world.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other book?
What book?
The book. The memoirs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, Maya Angelou had about 10 memoirs. So, you know, a big book of Bevelations is going to tell stories about my journey. So yeah. It'll be a bit of a memoir. You know, but there'll also be teachable moments.
No doubt. I only say that, away. You know what I'm saying? We were in Miami one time, and you were being sexually harassed by a star.
Yes, sure was.
And this went on for about 10 minutes just in the parking lot of the lobby. The valet line of a popular hotel in
Miami.
Yeah,
it's a very posh hotel.
A very posh hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And after he finished and he left, I was like, you know, why you didn't say nothing? He's like, oh, no, that's good for the book.
Exactly. It's good for the book.
I'm just waiting on the book.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, listen, also, too, what I tell people about sexual harassment is a very tricky thing. As a woman, a lot of shit that happens to you, you don't even know what to call it. You don't even know what to name it. So many people I've talked to, they say they weren't sexually harassed. And then when I start prying and, like, prodding them
mm-hmm.
and being like, well, has this ever happened? They're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, well, that's fucking sexual harassment. So many of us don't even know what sexual harassment is. So many of us have been conditioned to think sexual harassment is just par for the course.
Right.
That's the reason why these fucking predators can get away with it.
Right.
And the my most recent, most jarring sexual harassment came about when I was like about 46 years old. And it was like a vastly unattractive geekosaurus kind of guy who was actually going to give me a job in radio. Mm. And he sexually harassed me. And I was so shocked because I was, one, grown as fuck. Two, I was popping and influential. So, really? And then three, I was just like, you're ugly in a cornball. Why would you think this is okay? And like, you don't even have that much power.
Right.
Like, you have a mid-level, upper middle-level gig. Like, bitch, you ain't the fucking CEO of the bitch. Like, you like a vice president. Like,
so that means, you know what I'm saying, imagine.
That's what I kept saying. Imagine the girls. What was so crazy about it, though, is the woman that connected me with the dude, I called her immediately, and she was like, no, really? Are you sure? I was like, yeah, I'm fucking sure. And every time I told that story, people were like shocked that it was him.
Right.
So then that's how I know what happened to those women, why they were silent. Because people look at you like you're crazy. Really? Nah. You'd be like, no, really. And they'd be like, really? And you'd be like, yeah, really, bitch. Really.
Like, in a situation like that, right? Who do you report that to?
I could have reported it to a superior. I just simply didn't take the job. Right. So what I always say is, like, you know, I didn't need the gig.
Right.
So I just simply removed myself out the equation. But what if I had been a young woman who actually needed that job?
Right.
So now I'm fucked. Because now I either got to be okay with him sexually harassing me, or I got to, like, deny myself the opportunity to have this great gig.
Now, in that space, right? You're young. You come into, you're in a new place. You're trying to come up. You're trying to get into your space.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into these situations, you know what I'm saying? It seems like, you know what I'm saying, because I've never been in that situation.
Never been sexually harassed?
Nah. I can't say that I have been.
Well, I could prod you, but well, I don't want you to cry.
Prod me.
I don't want you to cry on your own podcast.
Prod me. I won't cry.
No, I'm sure you've been sexually harassed. By women? Certainly. Women in the workplace? Certainly. Men, you've been cruised by men?
Not.
Oh, you've certainly been cruised by men.
Prod.
Exactly. Because
I don't know what's happening. I don't recall being cruised.
They hear you even say the word cruised.
I think I would know that shit.
You think?
I think so. But, you know what I'm saying? How do you navigate that shit, though? Because, I mean, it's coming from all angles.
Right. So it's never a one-set way. What's her name? Ashley Judd said something I really like. She said, to all the women out there who have ever been sexually harassed, however you handled it the right way. There's no set fucking way to handle it. If you were able to get out of it, you know, alive.
Right.
You handled it the right way.
No doubt. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah. That's a motherfucking revelation.
Then a motherfucker.
Exactly.
What else cracking? How was Bahamas?
The Bahamas was great. Was on a private chartered plane with Drew Barrymore, Liev Schreiber, who else? Brooke Shields. It was surreal.
Brooke Shields was the white girl of my childhood. Not that, yeah. I liked it, but I'm just saying that's all you heard.
Yeah. Brooke, you know, Shields is amazing. You know, I knew Brooke Shields when I was a girl.
Did
the
you?
Same age.
From your ad agency.
That's right.
You told that story on the last time you was here.
Yeah. Go ahead. I reminded Brooke of that.
And what she said?
She's like, oh my God, Beverly. And so every time she saw me on the resort, she'd be like, hey, Beverly. And like want a drink?
My name ain't Beverly no more.
No, I loved it though. You know, I love it when people know me from whence I came. I'm not one of them newfangled motherfuckers.
No doubt.
You know, I love every single part of it. I like it when people call me Bev. I like when people call me Big Bev from Uptown. I like it when people call me Beverly. You know, all of it.
Bebbity Smith.
Yeah, all of that.
In my phone, you were still Bev. I came in the Bev era.
Yeah, you came in the Bev era.
So I search your number and I put in Bevy and it don't come. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
But it's under Bev.
Yeah, and that's good. And that's fine because that's what you know me as. And I'm okay with that. What I don't like is motherfuckers that are new to the game calling me Bev. That's not my fucking name.
Nickel.
That's not my brand moniker. You're not going to give me that. Yeah.
Back up off.
I had to yell at the nice man who does the warm up at the Page Six.
You chin checking him on the job?
Oh, I said, don't fuck with my brand.
What'd he say?
He apologized.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bibby.
And I went to the producers and I said, you make sure it doesn't happen again.
No.
Because you can't let things like that slide.
No, and I get that. You're the first person I've known that really policed your personal brand with an iron fist.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's just that I didn't want to be known as Beverly from Vibe no more, or Bev from Vibe. I was like, I'm about to change this whole situation.
Even when you was at Vibe, you had rules to what a motherfucker could and could not say to you and about you in accordance to your personal brand. Or, you know, I won't do that because I can't fly this kind of way because right. That's against the brand.
Right. Yeah.
You were the first person I ever seen do that type of shit.
Well, that's why it shocks me when people act like I'm acting brand new or something because I got a TV show. I'm like, I've been like this forever and a day. I've been an executive. I've been making good money and having access since I was like 27 years old.
Right.
Go sit the fuck down somewhere. This is not new for me.
Right.
I'm not excited to fucking fly first class. Like this, I've been doing this for a long time.
Right.
So when I'm an asshole at Page Six, sometimes I feel like bad about it. And then my friends tell me, don't feel bad. You're not being an asshole because it's the way you live your life. But you travel nice.
But you've always done that shit.
Right.
So why are you feeling bad now?
Because I'm the only one who's like that. Everyone else is nice.
Well, you're the only one that's protecting your personal brand.
That's
now,
true.
This is what I learned from the whole situation. I'm down there fresh out the streets when I met you. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So you get a job and you feel like you have to go along with the job, you know what
right.
I mean? And do what the job say and blah, blah, blah. You know, you're trying to fit in and you know what I'm saying? You don't want to ruffle no feathers and blah, 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 they skip in the third. But, you know what I'm saying? The thing about it is when you do enter a place, you know, what I learned is you have to teach people.
Oh, yeah. You got to teach people how to treat you.
How to treat you and
that's why I'm upset about what happened with me and Jay-Z in the dream.
Why? You taught them differently?
Clearly.
Obviously not.
No, I'm saying I did not teach him how to treat me because he treated me horribly. I was set up.
That was Dream Jay-Z.
I was set up by Dream Jay-Z.
Real Jay-Z wouldn't have did that.
Well, yeah, I hope not. Well, I wouldn't have even been with real Jay-Z. Dream Jay-Z set me up. I didn't teach. But see, here's the thing. I let Dream Jay-Z turn me into a mistress. I knew we were having furtive meetings. And, you know, I didn't know anything about a wife. But someone,
we
was lurking around and not being able to go here, there, in the next place. And when we went to the brownstone, somebody was like, come in quickly, and it was...
So you compromised your own brand?
In the dream, I did.
Are you compromising anywhere in life right now?
No. I don't think
you
so.
You sure?
I don't think so.
Don't let Dream Jay-Z pop up.
No, I don't think so.
Let me prod you.
Yeah, prod me. Go ahead, prod me. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. No, I'm like, really good. I mean, like, as far as, like, I can't stay out late at night and shit. So that's a compromise. But that's a compromise
I do see, though, you know what I'm saying? You know, I see that you really live your weekends up. you work your weeks. You've been moving around on the weekends.
Yeah. And did you notice I no longer work at Bevelations on Fridays?
I didn't notice. So you got Fridays off on the Bevelation so you can skedaddle.
Yep. And that means I make less money at Bevelations.
But you got a big time 200 market TV show.
But here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Most people would be like, nah, I'm not giving up no money.
Nah, son.
But I already know quality of life is worth much more.
Okay.
So I was like, fine. I was like, give me 4 days a week. And they were like, oh, well, then we'll give you 1/5 less. And I was like, well, no, that doesn't really work. But it was basically, they cut my salary by 1/5.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. Because I'd rather have my fucking weekends starting on a Friday versus on a, well, starting on a
Thursday night. Thursday at the
yeah,
at
like the you guys six. Actually don't even like so when real people work, their weekends start really on a Saturday.
They start Friday night, Friday 5 o'clock.
That's not
3 o'clock,
really
3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever, whatever they schedule.
So it
is.
Starts on a Friday for the real people,
right?
Yeah, right. Friday night just got paid, living yeah. for the weekend,
living for the weekend. That's real shit, though.
Yeah,
this is America, man.
People. I'm against that.
Okay.
That's why I could not have a, I could not abide having a job that was a proper weekend, like a working stiff.
Right. But see, look, okay. All right. Everybody listening, right? You know, I know this sounds like a lot of up talk. You know what I'm saying? That's what they call it on the conversation is upness.
Oh, okay.
This is a lot of up talk, right? But the jewels in this is, you know, you have the opportunity to set your shit up the way that you want it set up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have the opportunity to make the rules for yourself of how you want to live and how you want people to treat you. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that I learned from being around Bevy is you make the rules. You know what I'm saying? You went out in the world and you were doing, you know what I'm saying, brand collaborations, and you were like, I don't write proposals.
Oh, that's right. I sure didn't.
Guess what I stopped doing?
Writing proposals.
Writing proposals. Guess yeah. what happened?
What?
I made more money.
Yeah.
When I stopped writing proposals, I made more money. Mm-hmm. What happened when I was writing proposals was that people were stealing the ideas and doing it with other people.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Even people I knew, like close friends.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm just lazy and refuse to write the proposal.
But it's a magic in saying, I got this. I know what the fuck I'm doing, and I'm able to verbalize it. And if you with it, you with it. If you not, you not. I'm the proposal.
And you got to be okay with walking away from
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And a lot of times, the proposal ain't nothing but, hey, go do some shit while you and stay off my line until you got it done. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather get that shit done in the first conversation. If you ain't fucking with me, you ain't fucking with me. I can move on.
Well, you know, I also have that rule that I won't. Remember, I never would meet with low-level or mid-level managers.
Well, we know what that is. That's the rule of the $2,000 nigga. For real. And that rule states that once the invoice becomes more than the person that you're talking to's rent,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a personal struggle between them.
They hate you.
Do I give this person 6 months of my rent when it's really a business discussion?
Right.
So you can't talk to people like that. You have to talk to people who are going to have a business discussion, not a personal discussion.
Right.
So I learned the same thing. When you talk to people who are having a personal discussion, any dollar that they're giving to your business,
it feels like it's their own personal dollar.
And they think that they're giving it to you personally when there's expenses, there's taxes, there's all kind of shit. And then they want a kickback.
Oh, well, you know, I've never dealt in the kickback.
You know what I'm saying? And so when you talk to people who do business, which are mostly not in the middle, you know what I'm saying? Not at the, you know what I'm saying? You're actually talking to people who could tell you yes. And that the whole saying goes, you can't take no from a motherfucker who can't tell you yes.
There you go. Ding, the ding, ding.
Bing, bing.
Ka-ching.
That's all I take.
Mother may the motherfucker. I don't play with those people. But I'm also very blessed now. I'm in a space where I got a team.
Right.
So I don't have to do a lot of conversations with a lot of people. I got a manager, an agent, a publicist. Thank God.
No doubt.
And I really don't miss being in the fray.
No doubt.
And I thought I would. Because I love negotiating. I love negotiating. I don't miss being in, not being in the fray. I love being to refer you to someone.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Word. What's next? What's up with you? Where you at?
What's next, motherfucker? What? Ain't no what's next. I'm working. That's it.
That's how we wind down the show.
Oh. Look, I'm yelling
like,
at you.
You be like, you know what I'm saying? Tonight I'm with Amanda Seals doing all the
that, that whole
the
thing.
Third,
oh, yeah, yeah. Tonight then... I'm going to be doing the Amanda Seals Smart, Funny, and Black. Smart, Funny, and Black. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to go to work tomorrow morning.
What's your weekend like next weekend?
Oh, what am I doing this? Oh, I got a homosexual baby shower.
Word.
Billy Peretti.
Billy.
Having the baby.
No doubt. I know Billy from, what is that, Blooming?
No. That's Kevin. Good. You know.
I know Billy. I know,
you know
him.
Billy from Hennessy and Prada.
Okay. Yeah, I know Billy. Yeah. I know. I see his face in my head right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having a baby. Right. Very excited.
No doubt.
I've known Billy for more than 20 years, so I'm excited to see you. Him become a dad.
That's what's up.
Yeah. OG up in this bitch.
No doubt.
No, last night I hosted a lovely gay event with Sandra Bernhardt.
Who that?
See, you got to Google her.
Google big, Sandra Bernhardt.
Yeah, yo. Big New York City situation.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, ciao for now, and cheers to the queers.
No doubt. And y'all can catch me on the gram at Mr. Muhammad and on the snap at Thorough TV.
Where can they catch me? Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everything is Walker. Everything is Flocker. Everything is Bevy Smith. You know that quote?
No.
No.
You don't know that quote? Everything is Walker. Everything is Flocker.
Who said that?
Walker.
Blue Ivy.
Oh.
Blue Ivy said
it? Shaka-laka. Boom shakalaka.
Everything is Walker. Everything is Flocker.
Oh, shit, Blue. Your stepdaughter.
That's my stepdaughter. Oh.
Your stepdaughter in scandal.
In scandal.
No doubt.
Let me tell y'all what happened. Get me off this podcast.
Hold on, let me close out.
Okay.
We're going to get to the real story, but for now, you know what I'm saying? Tell a friend and even the enemy to get in the conversation. We'll see y'all next week. D Lemon will be back in the house. We are out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.